there's only so much information that the decision maker can process. Okay, so how do we get the best information to them as quickly as possible so they can make the decisions and then move on to the next decision? So that's a huge issue.
Sometimes in a disaster where infrastructure gets knocked out, say for example an earthquake, that can stress a system like a cell phone network. How do you sort of go through all that tangle of different challenges there and find a way to make this technology useful?
When you do have a major disaster and you do start to have communication compromised, our county, state, and federal agencies have a very well-coordinated effort that allows them to a large degree, continue with very solid communication, and particularly with satellite communication and so forth. From a formal standpoint, the communication process is fairly well defined, and they have pretty good resources in place such that it allows them to continue the communication. Now, that's not always the case in smaller countries, and that's why it's been so valuable for us. We also had a ongoing collaboration with the Bahamas because of the massive number of hurricanes that they have. So that's not always the case in smaller nations and particularly island nations because their infrastructure is so vulnerable to begin with. So what we are looking at is, okay, yes, obviously the U.S., we have our vulnerabilities. Clearly we do, even in many times in our rural areas and sometimes even in the urban area because of the huge populations or additional categories of risk you have to deal with. So there are resources in place, there are processes in place. Technology is supporting many of these processes, and what we are constantly doing is looking at how we can get better at doing that and really answer without just throwing technology at it, but really doing the research to understand what the technology is supporting, how it's reducing a risk, how it's improving preparation. And so those are the kind of big questions. They're just big research problems that we need to look at.
Now, of course, Florida is not an earthquake risk area, but there are other natural hazards that
almost certainly
we have to contend with, like,
my goodness,
hurricanes, tornadoes, floods perhaps, and maybe even brush fires if it's a dry summer. So some of the things you're looking at, they're also applicable to here in Florida, right?
Absolutely. Well, the reason that we started the collaboration is because the research we did was focused on hurricanes here. And of course, we're very concerned about the Southeast. But if you are establishing processes that are good for responding in hurricanes, then there should be some applicability across other disasters. I mean, in order to prepare, and clearly there are other things. The ground may be at risk with an earthquake, whereas obviously with a hurricane, you have other issues that are at risk. But your methodology should have, if they're robust, should have some degree of transferability to other types of disasters. And that's why the technology research that we're doing is so important, really understanding at what point do we need to use these different technologies to support the first responders and the decision makers. And then, of course, that should have applicability across other disasters.
It's interesting, too, when you look at the way the general public, I mean, just regular people react to disasters too, because I know that in the aftermath of Sandy, for example, one of the first things they would think about was finding a power outlet for their smartphone or their iPad or what have you. So it seems that technology has become much more central to the way people respond to disasters now.
It really has. And if you think that's a challenge, okay, so we've got the technology, you've got your individual handheld. Now we've got social media. So you've got the Facebook and Twitter. And so while all of these things can be very valuable, it's important for us to understand how to most effectively engage them to support the overall process, which is to provide a quick, efficient, and safe response for people. And quite honestly, we want to use as few resources as possible, because if I can limit the resources I use in one community, then that makes me have more resources available to the next community from a people resource, from an energy standpoint. So all of this, all of these make studying disaster management and the human factors aspects of it very exciting.